At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And Deep D is officially my neighbor. She officially moved in yesterday.
Yay.
Which is so exciting.
I know. I'm so excited. I got the keys yesterday. God, it felt so good to get like a fresh start. Like something about moving, getting rid of old things. Like it's just, it's such a good feeling. And also, did you see the full moon last night?
Okay, I actually did because I could not go to sleep last night.
Yeah.
And so I randomly looked out my window at 4 a.m. and the moon was huge. I even took a photo of it.
Me too. I went back to the apartment last night just to see it at nighttime. I don't know. I'm crazy. But it was so beautiful. It was like sunlight. It was just so luminous. Oh my God. It was gorgeous. But anyways, the moon is in Aquarius right now. So it's all about like letting go, releasing things. And so it just feels so right that I got my keys on that day. Like I'm just so excited for a fresh start.
Okay, because I feel like I've been holding things in instead of releasing.
Oh, you should feel in turmoil because of that. Like if you haven't been able to sleep well, and like, just, I've been having some wild ass dreams too. I'm just like, what is going on in my mind?
I haven't been having wild dreams. I have nightmares like actually quite often, but for me, like I was up last night because like there's so many thoughts going through my head. I was in Charleston last weekend for a bachelorette party. And can I just tell you something that happened?
Yeah, it was.
So we shared a pool with another bachelor party. That wasn't planned, but like our Airbnb just had a shared pool, and in the other house was another bachelor party. So during one pool day, we met the men part of that bachelor party. And most of them were in like relationships, like most of them were married or engaged. One of the men was talking about how he was divorced, but his friend was like, oh, he has a girlfriend though. But this guy would not clarify that he had a girlfriend. Like he kept saying, I'm divorced. And I think it was a tactic to act like he was single because he was flirting with some girls in our bachelorette party. Ooh. And I was like, God, men are such like little fuckers. Like, it made me sick thinking like, oh my God, here he is pretending like he's single by just saying I'm divorced and not saying he has a girlfriend to flirt with members of my bachelorette party that I was a part of. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to go back to that girl. And I want to be like, I want to find out who that girlfriend is to give her a heads up. I wouldn't, but I was just like, God, men are so slimy sometimes.
Yeah. And to be fair, sometimes women are too, but this is interesting because I feel like I've been in situations like this before where I've like observed that happening. And I always think to myself, I'm like, do I have a responsibility to say something? Because listen, like our friends and they are all grown ass adults. So sometimes I'm like what, where's the line? You know what I mean? But if he had tried anything or like, I don't know, that's kind of fucked up. I don't know. That just, that boggles my mind because like if I were his friends, I would hold him accountable. You know what I mean? Because his friend is the one who told you in the first place.
So the reason why we found out is we asked one of the guys in that bachelor party, you know, like, what is your relationship status? And he was like telling us about each guy, like if they're married or if they had a girlfriend. And so that's how we found out. But when the guy with the girlfriend started flirting with members of the bachelorette party, his friends all kept their like lips shut, like nothing was said. And it was very clear he was flirting.
So, like, very clear. You know, okay, devil's advocate. You're probably going to hate me for this. Flirting versus like making a move. Like, what are the boundaries? You know what I mean? A little flirt, you know, flirt. is like,
I was thinking about that, but I think he was trying to assess, like, he wasn't making it known that he had a girlfriend. So I was like, is he like baiting, you know, like the single girls in our group to see if like
someone would like, yeah.
Yeah. Because like, why would you do that? I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you're technically like leading someone on that you're single, but like, why would you do that?
Yeah. 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 Huh. Interesting. I'm like, sir, you're on a bachelor party. Like, this is about the groom.
I know, but I don't know. It's just one of those things where you're like, oh, that's so slimy. And he seemed like a really nice guy. If the girlfriend is listening to this, your man is a snake.
If your man was in Charleston at a bachelor party this past weekend.
And he said that he met Natalie from Love is Blind because they all happened to find out I did the show. Like, three of them recognized me without asking me. They just, I think they whispered it to one of the girls part of the bachelorette party I was a part of. But if your boyfriend told you he saw Natalie from Love is Blind in Charleston, he was flirting with the women part of my bachelorette party, and you should dump his fucking ass. DM me. I will give you all the details.
That's hard. You know what? Flirting is, I don't know. I feel like flirting is, there's a blurred line, you know? Because I guess often get mistaken for flirting when I'm just being nice. I'm not saying this was him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this was him. But in general.
But that's not the issue. It's the fact that he was hiding he had a girlfriend.
Yeah. True. True,
like,
true,
you
true.
Know what I'm saying? I think there's one thing of like being like flirty nice. Mm-hmm. But if you're being asked if you have a girlfriend and you're saying I'm divorced.
Yeah.
And you're that's not true. Clarifying. That's kind of suspicious.
Yeah. He's omitting the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, ooh, he's trying to like make us think he's single.
Yeah. Well, good job on catching on to that, because you're like, denied.
I know. I was like, goodbye, you're such a little snake. But speaking about potential cheaters, can we get into some Love is Blind / Netflix reality TV news? Because there has been some cheating allegations, some drama between Georgia Hazarati from Too Hot to Handle season 3 and Perfect Match season 1, and her ex Harry Jowsey from Too Hot to Handle season 1. So all this drama started when Harry Jowsey went on the Call Her Daddy podcast and accused Georgia of cheating during their 1-year relationship. He never said her name, but he implied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just said like her. His ex. Yeah.
Yeah. He said on the podcast that he was quote unquote such an angel in the relationship. And he gave Georgia luxury bags and a Rolex. And he also said it was likely she would say he was lying about what happened in their relationship. Hmm. So in response, she said via a 3-part series on TikTok, she stated she never cheated. And Harry was actually the one who cheated during their relationship, and that he did buy her a Louis Vuitton bag, but the other 2 luxury items he gifted her were fake.
Yeah.
So who do you believe?
Honestly, this is such a hard one, because it always comes to he said, she said type of situation. But what really made me believe Georgia was that she kept posting on her social media about how other women have reached out to her and said, oh, he's been like this in the past, or that, you know, like coming out and saying, oh, like, girl, he's been cheating on you with my friend. So there's like a couple other allegations that came out after the fact, which makes me believe Georgia more. But listen, I feel like there's always 2 sides to a story, and I don't think anyone is innocent. But I do. I'm leaning towards more Georgia. Like, what do you think?
I am too. I know that she was kind of exposed as a liar in that whole Dom situation. So if you guys aren't aware, there was also some controversy with Dom from Perfect Match season 1, who she paired up with on the show.
And won.
And Dom said that, her and Dom won as like the perfect match of that season. But he alleged that she cheated on him with Harry Jowsey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he had all these receipts that showed, you know, she was lying and like she cheated during that relationship. So it's tough, because I don't think she has a track record of being honest. However, you're right. Like, I do kind of like lean towards believing her, because if you've seen clips of Harry Jowsey on podcasts and like the absurd things that he says, like, he definitely has very much toxic traits and mm-hmm. like has done toxic things. Like I remember there was a clip on TikTok of him saying that he one time like blocked a girl during their relationship because he wanted to make her needy and like confused. And that's mm-hmm. like messed up. Like yeah. he very much shows that he can be manipulative. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. Yeah, again, like I don't really know either of them. I've met Georgia and I've loved her. When I met her, she was so nice. Yeah, and I've great. Also met him too. And he's also very nice in person. But, yeah. you know, I think that
we're both not in relationships with them. So, of course, they're yeah. like very sweet, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting, I do believe because her. It's really interesting because Harry went on Dom's podcast too.
He did?
Yeah, he did. So that was an interesting duo to see too. And now they're like tight, you know, like they're like good. And I haven't listened to the whole podcast yet, but I saw some clips from it and I was like, oh, they're like getting along pretty well. So that was an interesting dynamic to see.
Yeah.
I was very
and then
surprised.
I also saw somewhere that Chloe Veach from Too Hot to Handle season one and Perfect Match season one, she was paired up with Shane on the show. She unfollowed Georgia. I don't know when, but I saw it on my like on my Instagram Discover page of some reality tea site spilling that, saying like Georgia and Chloe don't follow each other.
Oh, so, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, which is very interesting because Georgia and Chloe were very close on Perfect Match. Mm-hmm. Like they were like very close friends. So I don't know if that's like Chloe taking Harry's side or what.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But didn't Chloe and Harry also date? Or did they never date?
I'm not sure. Maybe I think that there's allegations that they might have been intimate.
Yeah. But. Wow, everyone's so intertwined. There's a lot going on in this reality space.
I know.
Oh, man.
It's super messy. And sometimes I'm glad like we're not really part of that world, like in Los Angeles, where kind of, that's where most of the Netflix reality TV stars reside. Like, I'm glad we're in Chicago because, you know, you and I know some stuff, like more stuff, and it's like very messy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like not everyone is like friends or not everyone is as good as they show on social media. Like, there's a lot of drama within the Netflix reality TV show universe.
Yeah. And I think it really stems from like you being a certain way in real life and then the social media person that you are, you know? So it's like that when that dynamic is off and people start to realize it, I think, you know, you get called out or, you know, there's drama, you know? So
I know.
Speaking about drama, there's some happening in the Love is Blind world. According to USA Today, Nick Thompson of Love is Blind season 2 has revealed that he could face homelessness soon, and he says Netflix is partially to blame. He told Daily Mail that, quote unquote, I can't get a job because people don't take me seriously. He also went on to claim that his life has been ruined by the show and that they exploited him. So Nick lost his job. I know. Nick lost his job last November, and he was a vice president in software for 5 years. And he is apparently now jobless and has 2 months left in the bank to pay his mortgage. Like, wow, that's a lot to unpack.
Okay, wow. So Nick was on our season, for those of you unaware. I mean, it's tough because Deep D and I are in a very different position than him. We've talked about this in a previous episode, but we have definitely monetized off of, you know, our time on Love is Blind. And it sucks to read that, you know, he is in a really hard position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say because we know Nick personally. Can I be honest though? I don't think that he can blame the show.
I agree.
Because you and I have both had corporate jobs. And yes, the show did impact our jobs, but I don't think it's impacted the ability to get hired. Like it didn't impact our reputation that much. I think for you, you're in a little bit of a different boat because, you know, you did come off very much professional on the show. I think for me though, I mean, look, I didn't get the best edit in After the Altar, nor did I have the most smoothest storyline. Like, if anything, mine was sloppy AF. But I don't think that the show made me unhireable by any means.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm very empathetic to his situation, but I think that there's more factors than Netflix being the reason why he's not able to find a position. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's a really tough one because we are in such a different boat, but it's hard to place blame on one thing, you know? And I just, I think it's a little bit unfair that he's blaming the reality show.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't place full blame. I think he says Netflix is partially to blame. But I do think, with my limited knowledge of the tech industry, I do think that obviously there have been a lot of layoffs. You've seen it with Meta. You've seen it with Amazon. You've seen it with Salesforce. Like, it's a really tough industry to be in right now. So that might also be a factor. Again, I'm not in his shoes. He's also, you know, has that VP title. I know he worked at a startup prior. And so it might be hard to, you know, get that same title at a startup or, you know, at a bigger company, since it doesn't like translate very well.
Yeah.
It's tough because I don't want to discredit like what he is going through. And can I just put this out there too? Because I've actually seen this in our DMs. We are not sponsored by Netflix or Kinetic Content, which is the production company of Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. If anything, we have our own qualms with Kinetic Content. So I just want to clarify that. While we're on the topic of jobs, we are talking today about what it was like working our corporate jobs while filming Love is Blind, and also when our season premiered back in February 22, when our lives changed forever. Before we go into that, though, Deep D, what was your corporate job again? I know you worked in IT for a really long time, but I forget your like full job history.
Yeah, I've had a few titles, but yes, I was in IT. But weirdly, in college, I wanted to do psychology. I did psychology, but I wanted to become a therapist. And yeah, and like I had a job as a social work aide, and I was just like, oh my God, I loved my kids so much. But what deterred me was having to go to grad school. Like, I was just done with school. I was like, I just really want to get into the workforce. So I actually took like 8 to 9 months and like trained myself in business analysis. And that's how I got my first job at Allstate. And I've been there ever since, up until Love is Blind, which is crazy. But I like really worked my way up in technology. Like, obviously started as a business analyst and worked my way up to a data analyst. And so, yeah, technology just makes me so happy, just because you're able to create and do so much. And it is the fastest growing industry ever. So it was like, I kind of miss it sometimes. But what was your job history like?
Yeah, so mine was kind of all over the place. I majored in international studies in college. I just chose that because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, actually. I was actually pre-med. And then I was like, definitely not going into medicine. I was like, I don't think that's a career for me. I kind of like found that out my junior year. And like with the credits and courses I had taken, the only thing I could really major in was like international studies. And so I just kind of focused on that. And I had a concentration in East Asian cinema.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Mine was psychology with business management. I was like, let me just like bloop, insert that in there. So just to get a little bit of leverage. That's interesting.
Honestly, I took so many courses like watching East Asian movies. So yeah. I was like, clearly you could tell I worked really, really hard in college. But I had an HR internship during college, and that kind of propelled my HR career. And so I worked at a place called Orbitz, and then I moved on to GE, General Electric. And I was there for about, I want to say 3.5 years. And then I switched careers and became a change management consultant at EY. So I left as a manager there ultimately. And yeah, I loved it. It was a lot of travel, a lot of like client facing work, but you know, it was so much fun. I think I worked around 60 to 80 hours a week.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of intense at times, but you know, I think I loved the client-facing aspect of it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Wait, how long did you work at EY?
I was there for about 4 years, a little over 4 years.
Four years. It's interesting that you say client facing, because that's why I loved being a business analyst. Because you are basically the liaison between technology and your business clients. And so you're like, you're just taking technology terms and putting it into layman's terms for your business clients to understand. And I was like, yes, this is like the perfect thing for me, because communication is just my favorite thing ever. So I was like, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was definitely interesting. I managed a team when I was at EY. Mm-hmm. And so I never thought that I could be like a people manager, like actually manage like direct reports. And mm-hmm. so I loved that I was able to get that experience and actually lead. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It's really hard to manage people. Like managing projects versus managing people is such a different ballgame, because there's so many personalities. Gosh. People are going through personal things. Like, so I commend you on that. That is hard.
Yeah. And honestly, I am like a little bit of a perfectionist when it comes to my work. And so delegating and kind of trusting my direct reports with work was like really tough for me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you kind of learn that you have to, and that you're the people that you're overseeing also need to grow.
Yeah.
Too. And you're kind of responsible for their career growth. So, but yeah, it was, I learned a lot. I feel like I was able to translate a lot of that like leadership into like what we do for this podcast, because we really are like kind of leading our own business here at the end mm-hmm. of the day. Yeah. So that's been really, really cool.
Yeah.
Really curious though, did you tell Allstate that you were going to film Love is Blind? Like, did you tell them about your casting process and like the application and everything?
No, absolutely not. I actually kept it from them, because honestly, I really separated my personal with my professional life. And I just felt like, you know what? I don't even know what the outcome of the show is going to be, like how far I'm going to make it, like what's going to happen. So I was like, there's no reason to tell them anything. So I just accumulated PTO days and took the 15 days off, and that's all they needed to know. So I was like, yep, I'm just going to take some time off. And I was like, I'm going on a vacation. Everyone's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know yet.
So, that is so crazy. Yeah. That is so crazy. You did not tell them anything. But that's the thing about Love is Blind, is like you can actually not tell your company, because you, like you said, you only need 15 business days off. So like really just kind of like 2.5 weeks.
Exactly.
While other reality TV shows, you typically have to take like 5-6 weeks off. Mm-hmm. So I see why it's like super easy. I ended up telling a few people at my company when I was chosen for the final cast. But even like before then, when I was going through the casting process, I think I was like, hey, like I'm doing this unscripted show about love, dating, and marriage.
You told them during the casting process already? Yeah. Wow, you were very forward with your information.
Well, I had to, because I worked at a big four accounting firm. So there's something called independence, which means like you need to make sure that you don't have like business relationships with other companies that might impact your client relationships. So I needed to make sure that like, you know, anyone that the production company was working with, the production company itself, Netflix, like there wasn't any...
Is it like conflict of interest?
Mm-hmm. Conflict of interest. So yeah. I did have to tell like legal at my company that I was doing Love is Blind and like show them the contract, which obviously had like Love is Blind in it and, you know, the production company name. So a few people did know, but only like... I don't think my direct manager knew. It was like my senior leadership, legal, and HR, and that was it until the show, or not even the show, until the trailer for a season came out. That's when everyone was like, what the hell?
They're like, is that Natalie?
Yeah, literally. That's when it was like, okay, like the news is out. But before we talk about that, did you work during filming? Because again, we take like the 2.5 weeks off when we're in the pods in Mexico, but then we have the 3 weeks in Chicago leading up to our wedding. Did you work during that time?
I did. I did. And it was really tough to get through that. And
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. It was so stressful, because obviously there's so much going on. And like, what was nice is like my ex from the show also had to go into the office, obviously, because he was a vet. So like he was gone a lot of the time. So I was like, okay, I can actually like get work done. But it was really hard. But at the same time, I'm so thankful that I had a work from home job. I know that not many people from our cast had that same, like they were able to do that. I think a lot were, but I know like my ex-fiance specifically was like very, very tired because he had to actually physically go in. But I was like, thank God I can work from home. So yeah, I worked during filming. And did you?
I did. And you know how we had the shared apartments? I just went to like my actual apartment to like work during the day there. So again, I was also work from home. I typically travel Monday to Thursdays every week of the month.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like worked it out with my company where I was like, I can't travel for the 3 weeks.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. See, that's one good thing about being forthcoming with your company is that they'll like work with you to make sure that you could like, you can balance your personal and professional life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, my manager didn't know. So, but she just approved. She's like, I was like, hey, I'm like, something requires me to stay in my home city, so I can't travel. And she's just like, okay.
Wait, also, did some of our cast members, did they quit before filming? Because I think some of them, I had no idea. I didn't really talk much about it.
There were two women who were part of like the broader, you know, 30-person cast who quit to do Love is Blind. Like they couldn't get like the 2.5 weeks off.
Oh, man.
And I think they were also kind of like banking on being part of the main cast and then, you know, like going back and, you know, no one from, I don't think anyone from like the five of us, like you, me, Ayana, Danielle, Mallory, like quit our jobs, but there's definitely other women who did, which I thought was so crazy. Like, is that crazy?
It's absolutely crazy because I am like, it's embedded in my blood never to take risks, which is crazy that I even did the show, but to quit a job with so much uncertainty, like I just couldn't. Yeah. It's so risky. Like,
I was like, I would never quit. If my company was like, you're losing your job if you take those 2.5 weeks off or if you do this unscripted reality TV show, I'd be like, okay, like I'm not doing the show. I would never choose the show over my job.
Yeah. Just because it's, I think it's part of my culture probably why too, like we do not take risks like that. Like our careers are very, very important, you know?
And yeah, like so, job security.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like what happens to my 401k? Like I gotta... Yeah,
I know. Well, I was talking to one of the women who admitted that she quit her job before going into the pods. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, why? And she goes, well, if it like really works out, it's like worth the risk. And she's like, I work for a small startup, so they wouldn't allow me to take the time. But I was like, dang, I was like, wow, you're really just putting everything on the line. And it's really sad because she didn't get any screen time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. But, you know, hopefully she's like has enough faith that like maybe the company wasn't as like dear to her heart or like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, she's like, oh, I can find another one easily or something like that. I don't know. But for me, I'm like, I know it's going to be hard for me to search. I'm not doing the job search process again.
Like, I was like, I was like, that's not going to happen. But honestly, it kind of worked out for us. Like if I knew what I did now, I probably would have quit my job at the time.
Really?
Like if I knew how it would, if I knew how it would churn out, like I'm going to be really honest, everything that I went through for Love is Blind, I needed for my personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. I've kind of come to that realization like recently after our interview with Carousel last week and the things she was saying about Joey, how she, you know, really learned so much from that relationship and she grew so much. I think I've come to the realization I needed that Love is Blind experience to become a better person and grow more, just mature more in terms of like what I want in life, but also in romantic relationships.
Dude, you are literally speaking my mind because I think back on the show in the exact same way because I was like such a people pleaser, like coasting it in life. And with relationships, I always put the man above my own needs all the time. This show literally taught me to pick myself. You know what I mean? Like, it literally
choose myself.
Yes. I literally was trying to avoid the word choose. Oh my gosh. But no, literally, I'm like, I just know my worth now. And it's not because of anyone else, but it's because of myself. And I'm like, oh, totally. I'm in the same boat as you. Like, we needed those experiences. And I would have never met you. We wouldn't even be on the screen together.
Wait, that is so crazy. I do think about that a lot in terms of, like, when people say, like, do you regret Love is Blind? In the beginning, I used to be like, yeah, like, kind of. It's just, it took a huge toll on, like, you know, just like my mental health and, you know, on my energy. But you're right. Like, I would have never met you and the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one that I'm, like, really, really thankful for.
Yeah, me too. Like, we would have never had the friendships. Like, none of my friends that I have today, actually, I would not have any of them unless it was for the show. Like, even friends that weren't on the show, because that's, like, how I met them. Like, in different situations that led from the show. You know what I mean? So,
like, you met them through, like, other cast members before the show premiered and stuff.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I'm like, it's wild to imagine how life would be so different, you know? But how did filming impact your job?
Oh my gosh. It was so hard to work when filming because, like, my life was falling apart. You know,
yeah, it was.
Like, the fact that I had to work after my wedding day.
Yes.
Was wild to me.
I know.
Like, my eyes were so puffy and my colleagues were like, you don't have to go on video today. Like, you can just shut off. And I was like, no, it's okay.
Oh, wait, that's so sad.
But I know that I was not performing during those 3 weeks. Yeah. When we were working during filming. Like, I know I fucking sucked at my job.
No, me too. I was definitely distant. I was doing the bare minimum. I was just like in my own head. And I was like, I have time. I'm like doing the task, but like my heart was not in it whatsoever. I was just like, what is life? Like, what does this even mean? What is work? Like, why am I working right now? Like, you know, it was so tough. And then the fact that we had to plan a wedding while we were working was the hardest thing ever. Like it wasn't like intense filming because you're not being filmed 24/7 when you're back in Chicago for those 3 weeks. It was really the whole planning the wedding part that really drained me. I was like, bro, like, what am I doing?
Well, mine was even more because Shane and I were planning on moving in together after a wedding day. So he was moving into my apartment. So it's like the logistics on that, like getting him a key and like moving all his stuff in from his like lease was ending during filming. So he moved his stuff in. And then on top of that, we were thinking of having a secondary wedding back in his hometown. So we were planning that. It was just like, oof. I was like, my life is just freaking falling apart. And then obviously everything exploded in the end. And I was like, okay, well. And I was like, still expected to send emails as if nothing was wrong. Like, literally, I was like, okay, I said I don't at the altar the day before. And here am I being like, dear Karen, do you have that document that I'm expecting? Sincerely, Natalie. I was like,
yes.
What? I remember thinking, like, what is my life?
Dude, right, literally. And like, running meetings was so hard. And like, normally I'm very like talkative and bubbly. I literally was just like doing the bare minimum. I was just like handing it off to people, like, okay, what's your status? You know, like,
okay, can I be real? I barely worked during those 3 weeks though. I did that thing where it shows that I'm online, but I have like a YouTube video going so that my status on Microsoft Teams, you know, our like
pinging
system stays active. Cause I was like, I just need rest. And I would just sit on my couch just with nothing on and just watch my computer.
Natalie, that is so funny because I literally would do the same thing. I would just squiggle. And one time Shake saw that I was just squiggling. I was like, I literally cannot like handle this. And he bought me a mouse jiggler. Literally. And I was like, I can't use this. Like, my computer is so protected because I have so much PII data on my laptop. And so like any unrecognizable device like can't go in your laptop. And I was like, I can't use this. But I use it on my like my other laptop. And literally you just plug it in. It's a USB thing. And it just like moves your mouse like this. So you stay active.
Wow, that's so smart. Wow, technology really
one of my friends
really has grown since You know what? My high school days.
One of my friends suggested that I take like a heavy object, like a small heavy object, and open up Word and just put it on the space bar.
Wait, I told you that. No, I do that.
You do. I heard it from someone else.
Yeah, I put a little little nail polish. I'll open Word and just have click it on one key and it goes.
So the problem is when someone pings you, it'll pop up. So then it looks like you're pinging them. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, this is, I can't do this.
No, you gotta open up your phone and send a separate ping. Like if you have the pinging system on your phone. Anyways, what are we doing? We're encouraging laziness on this.
I know. Don't do that. Don't do that, friends. We were just going through a rough time. So
then when did you end up telling Allstate that you were on Love is Blind?
So I didn't. This is a great question because I didn't tell them. When the show was airing, I think my moment was when
I waited till the show aired.
Oh, after the show, it completely aired. So the show, even the finale, I did the reunion, everything was done. I was getting messages from people at work, that I don't even work with, because we're a really big company, obviously. Allstate's a huge enterprise. And so, random people, from accounting, from marketing, they would ping me and they're like, are you Deep T? I'm so happy you chose yourself, all this shit. And I was like, oh no. But I was still didn't say anything, 'cause I was like, my manager doesn't know. Yeah. My manager definitely does not watch reality TV like that. So I was just there's no reason to tell him. Why would I put myself in that situation? I was also going through so much personally. So I was like, I'm not trying to add work into it. But what did happen was, I think a month after the show aired, that's when he was like, I heard someone say that you were on a TV show. And I was like, oh my God. So that's how work found out, because I didn't really think that I needed to tell them. There's no reason, So. What about you? What about you? When did your work find out about Love is Blind?
They found out when the trailer dropped, and then a lot of news sites revealed the entire cast, for season two, when they show all of us on the cast before the show comes out. I think someone spotted me and they're like, is that Natalie? Because the company that I worked at, there was 240,000 employees across the world. So someone was bound to spot me. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think there was an article somewhere where they posted our LinkedIn profiles and they said she works at Ernst & Young.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it all started. Word spreads fast. A show as big as Love is Blind, someone from your work is on the show. I think that people, though, think that it's really hard to keep our Love is Blind filming experience a secret before the show comes out, from, friends and family and people at work. But it's actually not that difficult.
No, it's really not.
I think for you, it was a bit easier because you and Shake didn't continue your relationship. And so it's not like you're introducing a new boyfriend. But even for me, when I got reengaged to Shane after our wedding day, and I would sometimes wear my engagement ring to work or to the client site or even on Zoom calls, I was easily able to talk through that and just be like, oh, my boyfriend and I decided to just get engaged really quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
They're probably what a weirdo, and that's kind of it.
Exactly. And I think you said this before, but I definitely didn't talk to my coworkers about my personal life that much. I had one best friend at work that I would tell everything to, but this part I was just I'm just going to keep this to myself. Yeah. This is too much going on. Let me process my own feelings before I express them to other people,
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but what I will say is yes, friends and family definitely do know.
Oh, okay.
There's no way to keep a secret from that. And you just have to trust your friends and family not to say anything, publicly or do an anonymous post somewhere. So,
yeah. And also our friends and family were at our wedding. So,
yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to keep that a secret from them. So
was it tough for you to go back to quote unquote normal life after filming wrapped?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Because there is so much intensity with obviously this like marriage that didn't happen, this whole like filming process, like all of the stuff. It's so, so intense. And like emotionally, I was a wreck. Like I say that all the time. I'm like on an emotional roller coaster ride. And after that, you like get off the ride and it's just like complete like nothingness. You know what I mean? Like I just felt so numb as a person that it was so hard to pretend like none of that happened in the last 6 weeks. And you're like, oh, I'm back to my desk. Like I'm back in my space. And like, it's as if nothing happened, you know? So it was really hard. How about for you?
Yeah. We talked about it in our interview with Carousel where she calls it the post-filming blues, yes, but it's definitely a real thing. It's like you're on this high and then one day everything just goes away. Like the cameras go, you know, this kind of like fairy tale environment you're in all goes away. And it's a very weird feeling. Yeah. I don't know how to explain like what it feels like.
It's like the extreme ends of both things, you know? It's like you're in this calm, like after the storm kind of thing. And you're like, whoa, like, let me process all the damage that's just happened, you know?
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, you're just like, let me just process like what I just went through. And the fact that like what I went through is going to be shown on TV one day. And who knows when. At that time, we had no idea when our season was going to air when we finished filming.
Yeah.
And so I think it was just like a lot of stress, but it's like this weird feeling of like calmness, but like anxiety and being like, what the fuck was that?
Yes.
So it definitely was tough and it impacted my work. I was like, my head was like in different places.
Oh, mine too. And you know what's crazy? I am so, so thankful for the time that we had between filming and when the show aired, because I just like had so much to emotionally digest in that period of time and to like come back to myself. I'm just like, oh, thank God. I'm so grateful for that time, really.
Yeah.
But when did you tell your company that you were on Love is Blind?
When we received an email from the production company of the premiere date is when I told my like direct manager and more members of the senior leadership team. So my manager's manager and above, just to let them know the actual show name. So previously only a few people knew that it was called Love is Blind, but like other senior leaders thought it was just like I just said it was an unscripted reality TV show.
Yeah.
And then I officially told them it was Love is Blind, I think a month before the show premiered, when we found out the actual premiere date.
Oh, what were their reactions?
They were literally like disappointed.
No way.
Yeah, like I remember I told one of the senior leaders on a Zoom call. And he's like, you know, that show sounds so familiar, but let me look it up. So on the Zoom call, I'm watching him look it up, like Google Love is Blind. And you could tell he's watching the trailer. And he's like, you could tell his face is like, what?
He's like, what? You got married to someone without ever seeing them?
Yeah. He's like, oh, I would have never thought you would, you know, do this type of show. I don't know. You could just tell he was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I feel like, look, I'm going to be very honest. I'm very different at work. I know I have a very dry sense of humor. You probably could like feel it on this podcast. I'm a little bit inappropriate in terms of the things that I say, but at work, I have a very different persona. Like I keep it extremely professional. I never show my dry humor because I know that could like get me in trouble sometimes and rub people the wrong way if they don't have the same sense of humor as I do. So people are just really shocked because I definitely keep it very like,
yeah,
like very, very like straight edged at work.
I'm the same way professionally. I'm just a very different person than I am in my personal life. Like you would never think I'm like I go to EDM concerts and do all this stuff and like a reality show. Like that side of me is very like hidden to my coworkers. There's like one person who is my best friend during work that like knows everything. But besides her, like no one. So they were shocked. Like they were shocked to find out. And they're like, what? But you know, it's great because I did portray myself really well on the show because I was authentically being myself. And so I think that was like a positive thing. They were like, we are so proud of you. So
yeah,
that was like a positive feedback that I got. And I was like, thank you. Like I was really just trying to, you know, be me and find love. But
I mean, you had a very prolific storyline on our season. I think for me, it was a little bit different. I think that I was a little bit problematic at times and like very, you know, like that relationship with Shane was very much complex and complicated, even post show as well, that very much played on social media. Yeah. What I really hated is how many of my coworkers secretly knew.
Yeah.
And I found that out like later on. Like I thought a lot of people didn't know, like in terms of my immediate coworkers, but mm-hmm. when I put in my 2 weeks notice, they were like, yeah, everyone knew that you did. Love is blind, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I hated the most that random people at my company would ping me. Like one woman who worked at my company pinged me, spill the tea, sis. And she was like, I looked her up because I was very curious. I was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. you really what have you like doing? The balls to like ping me that? And she was like an entry level hire. But I was like, that is so disrespectful.
Yeah. Like, especially you being a manager. Like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. I don't know. But I was like, you know, it wasn't even the manager thing. I was like, how dare you just like ping me that during
and you
the
know,
work day? Like people would try to, while the show was premiering, they're like, what happens at the end? And I was like, don't ping me that during work.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. The worst is when people would ping me and ask me, like, was it real? Like, what happened? Like, they're just like trying to get the gossip on things.
And I was like, I don't know you.
Yeah, exactly. And I would just ignore them. I wouldn't even like respond. I just like, this is insane. Like,
but I would still look them up and be like, who has the audacity to ping me this while I'm doing work? Mm-hmm. Speaking about work, did you work while the show was premiering? Because I did. And it was.
I sure did.
Ooh,
that was.
That's when my performance dipped one more time.
Yep. Mine to the floor. Too. to the flow. drop it to the flow. No, yeah. It 100%. I just was not myself at all. I was a shell of a person, dude, because filming was one thing, but watching yourself back is a whole nother animal. And I was like, it's like when you listen to yourself on a voicemail. That times 10 cringeworthy is what it's like watching yourself back. I was like, oh my God, I know I have to watch this so I can be at the reunion, but I don't want to.
Did you call your fiance a piece of shit on national TV? I don't think so, but I did. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, that was a joke that didn't come out as a joke.
Yeah. You're like, it's my dry sense of humor. I promise. It's not, I'm not actually saying that. No, it's so funny. But yeah, that was a hard thing to do, dude. Working through that. Talk about, I really wanted to use that mouse squiggler, dude. I was like, please, I can't.
You know this, but privately, when the show was premiering, there was a lot of emotions because I personally was discovering a lot of lies that, or like seeing things that I just was not privy to while filming. Yeah. And I was like, so like, I was just, my mind was just everywhere. It was just really, really tough.
It was
tough. I know I was dropping the ball and I think my team was trying to be understanding, but they probably hated my guts.
Yeah. Honestly, the fact that I didn't tell them, my team, my manager actually pulled me into a one-on-one call and was like, hey, like, is there something going on personally? Because I just, you know, you've just changed. Like, you're not like showing up as bubbly because you're usually very talkative in meetings. And like, he was just like, what's going on? And
like,
so,
before he knew you did the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't quit until like 2.5 months after the show aired, or two months, I think it was. So I was like, because even during After the Altar, like that was filming, that was tough too. I was just like going through that.
Were you working during that time?
When did we film that? April?
We filmed it in March. We filmed it, I think a week after we filmed the reunion.
Yeah. I didn't quit until, I put in my notice end of May and then I put in my 2 weeks. Cause you know why? My manager was trying to put me on a call or on a big project. And I was like, I gotta quit. Because then I started doing, I did a couple brand deals and I was like, wow, I can make so much more money doing this than I am in my current position. And I'm not working 40 hours, you know, because I was half-assing both things. And I was like, I just gotta take the risk. So, but what about you? When did you start thinking about quitting your job and when did you do it?
I started thinking about quitting when, I think brand deals was a big one. I was just making more as an influencer versus being in my corporate job and obviously working less hours, yeah. I was getting just really burnt out. I was really just trying to recover from the show premiering because it was really tough.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I still had this like very weird relationship with my ex, with Shane. And I was like, my life is like imploding right now. And the last thing, you know, and it's impacting my work. I'm letting my team down. And I was like, I just have to quit. So, yeah. I didn't start thinking about it until like late last year.
Yeah. It's just really overwhelming. Your emotions are so, so high. And like, like you said, it's just, it takes over. And like, I just felt like everything that I was doing at work was so meaningless for some reason. And I know it's not, because it's something that I like took pride and joy in before. But after everything that happened and like the world coming at you, it was just so much. Like you said, I was also very just burnt out. But
yeah. And I was being criticized a lot, you know, especially after the altar. And so I think like my mental health was at an all time low. And so I think I was like, I just can't work these like 60, 80 hour weeks right now.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, but I will say a big push for me to quit and what made me comfortable to quit is like, you know, obviously we were making like pretty good money as influencers and that's the honest truth. And so I'm grateful I had kind of that like cushion to be able to like leave my job. I do think though, I'll probably go back within the year, if I'm being honest. I think once
you have a podcast.
Well, we could do this podcast with the job.
Oh, no, you can't.
That's true. But I think I do miss, I know you don't thrive in a 9-to-5, but I definitely do.
Yeah.
I feel like I like having this like schedule. I like being able to make consistent money and I want to still work on like honing my skill set. And, cause I know that this lifestyle that we have, but like I have, is not forever for me because, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, there's a lot of ebbs and flows in the influencer industry and,
Yeah, there's not a lot of job security, and that's what's really hard. It feels like I'm freelancing a lot of the time, but I think I'm going to like try to find a hybrid type of thing with like including technology and trying to create new businesses or work somewhere where I can have that flex. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really miss my corporate job, but what I do miss is like fitting, like playing into the part, if does that make sense? Like I really did like waking up, getting ready, feeling not powerful, but like feeling really professional and like showing up and making an impact on the company. That was really cool. But I feel like I want to show up like that for myself now. And I don't know. I think life is going to definitely look different because I feel like I was not made to do the normal 9-to-5. I don't know. I kind of like it. So
do you ever think that, you know, you would potentially go back?
No, I don't think I would go back to the same thing because I was thinking about quitting Allstate before I even did Love is Blind. But because of COVID, I held off because I was like, I am not trying to find a new job when life is so uncertain right now. But in technology, especially, you should keep moving around so that you can become more well-versed with other softwares and just, you know, just getting like putting yourself out in the industry. So I know that if I ever do go back, like I do, like you said, I do want to hone in on my technology skills because I think that it can really propel you forward in life. And that's where our world is headed. So I don't think I would go back to my specific job, but would I do something in technology? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll go back to management consulting, but I definitely want to go back into corporate somehow.
Oh, I do not like corporate. Please. Goodbye. Yeah.
I think it's less about, for me, less about liking it, but it's like something I think I'm good at, you know, and it's like something that I like know.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about this. If there's anything about my personality is I don't like the unknown. I don't like, I like knowing what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
And so I think because I've, you know, worked in HR and like management consulting for so long, I'll probably go back into one of those fields.
I think for me also, like, because I know that I learned this skill set without college, I just know that if I am determined to do something, I know I can learn it and I know I can get there. So weirdly, like, as though I should be scared, but I'm really not. I'm like, you know what? I have faith that like life will work out exactly how it's meant to. So
love that.
Yeah.
That was super interesting for me to hear what it was like you working during filming, but also when the show was premiering. I feel like we had similar experiences, and I don't think I've ever really like talked to you about it. So,
same.
You know, I think that, yeah, it, I don't know. It feels good that like you kind of went through the same stress as me. So I know I'm not like abnormal, but
yeah, we're in the same boat.
yeah. But this was a fun topic to talk about. If you guys have any questions, please DM us at Out of the Pods.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Monday.
Bye.